Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. This is a short, hopefully fun episode we're calling Subjective Wars, where we decide our totally subjective opinion about which is our preference between two things that are hard to pick between. The hard to pick between things we're going to be talking about today is Luke's blue versus Luke's green. Are we talking about his watercolors? No, his lightsabers. Luke's blue lightsaber versus Luke's green lightsaber. I'm excited to dig in. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. We could also have taken this direction, the milk direction. Maybe we'll do that in the future, but lightsabers it is.
I got some thoughts on the milk. My name is Jennifer Landa. That doesn't sound good.
I like that order.
It's a real low energy beginning of a rap. Yeah. I have thoughts on milk. My name is Jennifer Landa. Yeah. Man, this is so great. We talked about the topic and I ran it. I thought of the Luke's blue versus Luke's green, ran it by you. And Ken, did you just have this milk epiphany in the moment?
Yeah, in the moment. I didn't realize. Yeah, I didn't realize that. It's been a slow morning for me. I fell asleep back on the couch. So maybe I was dreaming of thalassirons and green milk. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll have to label this differently so we can do the milk episode later, the big follow-up. For now, yeah. let's ignite the blue and the green and talk lightsabers. So this is hard to decide because they're both cool. But let's take the temperature to begin with. Ken, going into this, is this one where you feel like you have an answer and you're pretty locked in and will need to be swayed away? Or is this a tough one for you?
I think my answer is locked in, but I think deep down, I have to admit, I could be pushed off that answer, like aggressively pushed off in a King of the Hill game in elementary school or something. Do you want me to reveal? Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to know your bias going in.
Yeah. My bias is I love the green lightsaber. I own the green lightsaber. I have my 1995 Power of the Force 2 one on the floor right next to me here. I love the green lightsaber. I don't know if that's the right answer, but it's okay. Mine.
I think I'll be very fascinated to see his comments come in on this and see if a lot of people prefer the green. But I think there might be a strong green being the favorite. Jennifer, do you have a bias? And is it green?
It is absolutely green. And there's no changing my stance in this one.
Well, great show, everyone. Let's shift to milk.
This is baked into for as long as I have been alive. So, or since I've seen the film. So that's a long time. Many years. I'm stubborn when it comes to this. Love
that's
me.
That's amazing if it was like your first words before you even saw the film. Like, green lightsaber. For me, it is an absolute torture between the two. This is like, please don't make me decide. It's awful. This is choosing between my right hand and my left hand, which is maybe insensitive to talk about with Luke's hands and lightsabers. I'm curious to see all the factors. So I think for myself, it's partially the slight age difference between the three of us that we talk about sometimes that I, you know, was really cognizant of existence and life when Empire Strikes Back came out and had a long time to. The first lightsaber that I imagined myself wielding and had daydreams about was the blue lightsaber, was the Skywalker family lightsaber. But then the green was the coolest thing ever because I had all those years to go, he lost his lightsaber. Is he gonna dig down? Can he call the Ugnaughts? And do they have a lost and found box on Cloud City like they do at the library? What's gonna happen? You know, my brother was real cynical even at like, you know, a very young age. He's like, Luke might not even have a lightsaber because how's he gonna get it back? He can't build one. So for me, it was like this huge triumph that like he is a full Jedi. He built his own lightsaber. The movie builds it up as even Vader being impressed. Like, well, damn, son, I didn't think you could do that. Your powers are complete. So the green was also this almost this symbol of hope, taking your first steps into adulthood. It isn't just his inherited lightsaber. It's his. He built it.
Right.
You know, so they both have this huge emotional power to me.
Man, yeah, it's like he built his own car or something. First of all, I kind of want to live a little bit in this story of I just picture young you on the living room floor, snow outside, of course, and you're daydreaming aloud. Like, I wonder if – and then your brother's in the corner with a newspaper, a couple years older, just looks over and goes, he might not even have one. Joseph goes back to – and you have to live with that dread for like another year.
I'm sure my memories have exaggerated it, but I mean, we definitely did fight because I was like, Luke's gonna he's gonna get real strong and he's gonna kill Darth Vader. I mean, that or not, he's gonna cut his head off. My brother would be like, he's never gonna be that powerful. No one can beat Darth Vader.
And subjective wars started then.
Yes. Objective wars started then. And the blue lightsaber also had this this great appeal of being unattainable because, of course, the Kenner action figures didn't have the correct color. The Bespin Luke, which I coveted and played with all the time, had the all yellow lightsaber is the actual toy. So the made the blue seem even more romantic and distant and impossible. So that's a vote in favor of the blue as well. Ken, do you think that your love of the green is your Star Wars legacy having really started with Return of the Jedi? Is there a primacy effect of that is the original saber?
It's the original in terms of my soul, right? It's a big moment seeing the trailer. Luke has it. And then, you know, you quickly go back. And for me, Jedi was my first. And you go back and see the other films and you get it and you like it. And I like the blue. That's why I do have a connection to the blue. But there's something to be said. I always talk about the pop culture dividing line where, like, for me, 1987 is everything I experienced, right? And going forward. So baseball, football, movies, anything that I liked that's in the culture, I was living for it. Even though I was alive, everything else seems like a newsreel and drab and different. So to me, the green lightsaber, even though it's 83, is new. It's vibrant. It's what I'm experiencing. The blue one, that's what he used to have. I wasn't around for that. I don't remember when Luke had that. And so I think that's where the bias comes from. It's just, I live with that one. It was what was there on the screen in the marketing on my Burger King glass.
Yeah. Jennifer, you're a Return of the Jedi super fan as well. Do you think that's a part of your attachment to the green?
100%. I don't even really remember when I went back and watched A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, because I just watched Return of the Jedi. That was it. So that was his lightsaber. It just was. And so much so that when I saw the blue, I didn't even really, it just was like a hand-me-down, right? I'm going to say it. Hand-me-down.
No, I love the honesty and the slight bit of pain it caused in my heart.
You know, it's great quality. It's great. So, but at the same time, it's historical. It's like an artifact, right? Like from your grandmother's China.
Yeah.
But it's not his. And so that to me, and oh man, we can get into that.
I like that you connected it to like a hand-me-down, like an Oshkosh Bagosh, like jumper that got handed down.
That's the part that hurts my soul of like, I mean, I guess if you're into antiques, that's fine. I think verging Jennifer into something that we have to talk about that I think maybe some people are watching this screaming. We're phrasing it as Luke's blue versus Luke's green. Of course, it isn't just Luke's. The blue has a much larger heritage now than when we were young. How much does that affect your thoughts, Ken, that the green lightsaber is Luke's lightsaber? It's the one that he made and used as a Jedi Knight and a Jedi Master throughout his life. The blue one is now arguably the Skywalker lightsaber. It's a legacy blade that Anakin has wielded, that Rey has wielded, that Finn has picked up for a time. Who knows what Maz did with it at slumber parties at her castle.
A story for another time that I do want to eventually hear. I think you're right. I think as a blade in Star Wars, the Skywalker blade, the blue holds a special place in my heart for the entire saga. But what you're saying, what you said earlier about this was Luke's and he built it and it's his and that image of him with the green blade and the black tunic and everything, that was my Luke in a lot of ways growing up. And again, I'm going to take this conversation beyond me being seven, but it's hard not to see the dividing line. But I like the blade, the blue blade, for that, for being a saga blade. Dare we say?
Yeah, yeah. So increase your adult appreciation of it? Is what you're saying?
Yes, actually, absolutely. The whole, ignite the green and our old buddy Still Saunders saying that a lot going into The Last Jedi and everything. That was, we weren't like ignite the blue, ignite the green. And so there was that team green type of vibe. And then when it didn't happen, I understand there was a little disappointment behind that beyond the big discussions around Last Jedi. I was like, oh, the green blade. But it made a lot of sense. Them fighting over the blade, the watching the moments, rewatching Rise of Skywalker over the holidays, and just Rey holding both the blades, and they're both blue. I was like, God, they're both blue, not purple, not yellow, anything. I love the yellow later. It added to the lore of the Skywalker blade.
Yeah, absolutely, Jennifer. How do you feel about it being not just Luke's blue blade, but the Skywalker legacy blade?
I like it. It's an heirloom, a family heirloom that you bring out during the holidays, like a serving platter. Everyone can use it. It's functional. It served people well, year after year. So, yeah, keep it in the family. I don't know. But I do love that Kylo Ren, kind of coveting it. He's like, hey, why don't you pass it down to me? When's my chance with this serving platter, right?
But, yeah. I want to cut people's heads off with that serving platter.
I want to host Christmas dinner.
When you just see that hilt, that blade, do you for yourself think of it as Luke's lightsaber, or do you, when you see it in your mind, do you go, oh, that's the Skywalker family lightsaber? Like if somebody showed it to you and said, in a trivia contest and say, tell me the name of this blade, would you say it's Luke's or would you say the Skywalker legacy blade?
I think now I'd probably lean towards Skywalker's legacy blade, but growing up and not beyond just seven into the 90s, I still viewed it as Luke's. It wasn't until the prequels, right, that we started like connecting it or several blue blades to Anakin. He did have a problem keeping him for a while, right? But I think, yeah, original trilogy kid here, yeah, Luke's blue or Luke's green is a fair question. I do connect it to Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have that. That's where it started for me. So there's that primacy thing that we talk about a lot of whatever you saw first makes this big emotional connection. And I think sometimes we can be honest about that. And sometimes we can dig our heels in and say, like, the first music I heard is good and all of the music is bad. Saturday Night Live was only good in the 3 years that I watched it. Everything else after is garbage. Yep. And in that same sort of way, I definitely see fights on the internet where people just hold on to that's Luke's blade. And like, I was introduced to it as Luke's blade, but as an adult and as somebody who loves and is fascinated by Star Wars, I look at it and go, it's cool because it's the Skywalker legacy blade.
Yeah.
Like, we got to see Anakin wield it a ton, not just in Revenge of the Sith, but in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And then the importance of it in The Force Awakens, the amount of meaning that it had built up and that it continues to build up. And in some ways, not my favorite, but I love that there's a differentiation of there's that Skywalker legacy blade that is repaired that Rey is wielding throughout.
Yeah.
You know, the Rise of Skywalker, and they sell both versions at, like, you know, Disneyland and other places that you can buy the traditional, it's Anakin or Luke's at the time, or Rey's from earlier in the films, or you can buy the reconstructed Skywalker blade with the little healing tape, whatever it is she's got on there.
duct tape.
Yeah, all of that just makes it, to me, it gives it even more weight.
I love how the blade kind of is this Star Wars lesson in itself of generational change and passing it down, all the things we talk about around this place a lot. I think the blade represents that, not just that family.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I in the grand spirit of Star Wars, I want that blade to bring people together because I can see that. That's Luke's blade because I grew up with these movies. That's Anakin's blade because I grew up with these movies. And like, that's Rey's blade because I like these new movies or grew up with them. And like, why don't we all just shake hands and go, that's our blade. All of us. It brings us together.
All of us.
Jennifer, do you have any thoughts on the legacy of that blue one in the way it sort of connects the generations? If that's a good thing to you, a bad thing to you, a thing you don't care about?
No, it is interesting actually to think of how younger generations, younger Star Wars fans do see that blade because my vision of it is shaped with what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And I just get this like nostalgic, like tug on my heart when I see him ignite that green blade in Return of the Jedi. It's just thrilling in that outfit. Like it's just, I can't describe it. I don't feel the same way, you know, with the blue blade. I just don't. And I'm sure that's because of my childhood and all
that. Are you talking about like when Luke ignites it at any point or just Anakin and Rey as well?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I guess it kind of just feels like it's like a family thing, right? Like it's just it's kind of shared. It's just like a like a I don't want to say a stock lightsaber, but it kind of just feels like when I think of lightsaber, I think of the blue lightsaber. Mm-hmm. When I think of Luke's lightsaber, I absolutely think of the green blade. You know what I mean? Like when you think of Star Wars and then graphics and artwork, you will always see the blue and the red.
Well, right. You know, because crossing. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. From a historical perspective, it isn't the blue blade is Luke's blade. It is now Anakin and Rey's in the Skywalker family. But it is also the world's in timeline order, the first lightsaber.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And how which gives it the weight in. This is the weapon, that is being described by Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is the elegant weapon for a more civilized age that gives it this extra weight. But so there's all this stuff that piles up that gives the blue lots of meaning and weight and different ways that you can look at it, interpret it, different ways it lives in our culture. And still for both of you, you're all like, nah, the green overpowers it. So let's talk about the green a bit. We talked a little bit about like, it's cool that Luke made it. It's his, what's the power of it? It being his, he never loses it. He still has it, in a container we learn in the book in Last Jedi. what's the power that he that is his lightsaber and he never loses it. It's with him his whole Jedi career.
Yeah, I think it's that. It's his career blade, right? It's him. It's him. Whether it's him in a box or free will and that blade elsewhere. It's saving Grogu, rescuing Grogu. Now, I think it's his. And Jen, you had a point earlier. It's like episodes 4 and 5 are these wonderful films. Luke never has a triumphant blade igniting like he does on the top of Jabba's sail barge, right? I mean, even with R2 launching it, it's a pro wrestler showing up for a main event, right? It's got theme music, it's got this, and that locked it in for me. But even to your point now, Joseph, just to see it again, it is, I agree with Jen, it is Luke's blade. And so when I think of Luke Skywalker, I do think of that blade time and time again.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And you are not alone. And anytime that there's a new line of action figures and you're making a basic Luke, it's Jedi Knight Luke in the black with the green, with the glove and everything. Yeah.
It's just a good color scheme too, green and black.
Beige and blue. Come on,
beige. Yeah, that's the thing. And then like drab military gray and blue. Blue and gray are a good combo, you know. Okay. But yeah,
I can accept a difference of opinions on the blades, but I will not stand or sit for disparaging the Bespin fatigues.
You and Mark are either big Bespin fatigues guys. I love that.
Anyway, Jennifer. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, but that's part of what I said. Like to go back to like, I was talking about that 1987 divided line. This is silly. But 1987, a lot of Major League Baseball teams changed their uniforms. And so to me, in 87, the Twins, the A's, all these teams changed their uniforms. And going forward, it's like, those are beautiful uniforms. And I could buy those right now on the rack. Everything else was drab 80s wear. that they had, they ditched. And so there's, I have a little bit of that, not to inflame you here, but I have a little bit of that with like the black, green, and then you got fatigues and blue that, that we've been, that's old. And I want the new one. I want this, you know, that's a little bit where it comes from for me.
You're
that
right.
Because
there is something kind of more neon about the green. It's like this neon green as opposed to the blue.
It's like a trapper feels, keeper.
Yeah. Which it just feels like, yeah, like when I was a kid, you know, hypercolor, all this stuff.
The Lisa right? Frank blade.
Lisa Frank. It is a Lisa Frank blade. I actually have an artwork of the Lisa Frank tiger with the green blade. I'm pretty sure I chose the green blade because it is so vibrant. The blue feels more muted. People choose blue because it's very calming. It's a very safe choice, right? Sure. Sure. Green. It's vibrant. It's alive.
I love that we're getting into aesthetics. I want to ask you one other question about the green blade being with Luke his whole time, Jennifer. Is that a power for you as well? That the does the blue seem like his sort of training wheels lightsaber, and then his like for real adult career is the green blade?
100%. And I love that detail that the caretakers, you know, found it within his possession, right? And they packed it up. Wasn't that in the novelization or something?
Yeah, Last Jedi, yeah.
Right, right, exactly. I love that. It's like his little bunny, his little blankie that he kept all these years, like, you know, from his younger days. Whereas the blue, you know, don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to make one argument for the blue that he does come back to it in his final use of a blade. It is a force projection.
And I think that's intentional, right?
Very intentional. And I think we've had this question on the show before and talked about it. And I think for me, that is entirely about that is the blade as a symbol that Rey is asking him to take up. It is the one that she has in her hand of like, they're having an argument over what this can mean. And he's trying to show her, you're right. This can be a symbol for hope and for defense and for making the right choice and taking action and all that. So that to me is, I like that it comes full circle for Luke with that blade, that's the one he started with. And from a certain point of view, that's the one he ends with.
Right.
Yeah. No, and I'm there for that.
And Kylo Ren associates the green blade with something incredibly, obviously, negative. So I think it wouldn't be smart for him to choose the green blade because it just wouldn't be. It's a different type of symbolism when he uses the blue.
Yeah. And it is also, it adds to Kylo's just not really, really not stopping and thinking about things when he doesn't question why Luke has the blade that just exploded in his face.
I always think Luke's choice, correct choice, I believe, to bring the blue blade back for Kylo is his way of going, you want this, don't
exactly.
you?
Yes, it's such a taunt. Yes.
Yeah, if you want the Skywalker legacy, you can have it, but make better choices, kid.
Yeah.
I think see around, kid, the subtext of that is, and make better choices. You guys are taking it into great aesthetics with the green and blue versus green and black versus beige and blue. Interesting room decoration discussion, how we decorate our rooms. But let's talk about the actual aesthetics of the hilts. The blue is the original. It is the original lightsaber. It is the, you know, the storied, you know, part of the camera that gets dressed up. It's the, if you zoom in on Empire Strikes Back on high enough resolution, you see the New York, whatever company copyright, all that stuff. It is the silver janky, like you could have made it. Star Wars could have designed it to be more fantasy than sci-fi. The hilt could have been, you know, carved wood as we later see with, you know, Wookiee and all that. But it is this janky science fiction-y chrome hilt that becomes a lightsaber, a laser sword. You have any, I'm trying to sway you. Do you have any attachment to the aesthetic of the hilt of the blue blade?
I'm staring at pictures right now. I just wanted to remind myself so I make a fair answer. Luke's, I'll tell you, man, that black grip section of Luke's green lightsaber is just the coolest thing in the world. It's
Luke's blue or green?
On his green. on his greens. Okay. You know, whether he grips it there or not, doesn't matter. He's got that. He actually grips a little lower, I think. But he's got the blacks on top, and the blues got the black guys. It's hard to wade through all these like fake saber companies that are making.
Exactly. That's what I was looking at too.
But the blues more towards the bottom, and there's just something about that. There's something about that. The green that I just, I'm sorry, blue lightsaber. You kind of just said it. It's like it's a sci-fi laser stick.
Yes, totally.
but it's got the uneven part that's got the energy at the top of the hilt. The uneven part is so cool. Mm-hmm. And the one little bit of business that's sticking out. Yeah,
I like just, the bit of business.
The bit of business is not comfortable. Like when I've held the blue lightsaber, my replicas, it's not as comfortable for me as the green lightsaber. And I'm going to throw this into the mix. Once made those bubble wands. I made them into lightsabers. So I had blue bubble wands and I had green bubble wands. I will say the only thing about the good thing about the blue blade is it's easier to construct when you wrap the silver duct tape and the black duct tape to decorate.
Gotcha.
It is easier. But there's just something more like you're saying, sci-fi, futuristic about the green.
And I know you love him.
I mean, I love the saucer. Both. It's a saucer. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the saucer of the green. Yeah. And I know you love them both deep down, Joseph. I feel your pain over this. I'm looking at the it's the green.
It also doesn't make sense. Like you need that saucer. The saucer is important, I think.
You need the saucer.
I think the emitter section is stripped of its finery. For sure. Yes. But we can have all different emitter types.
I'll tell you what.
We can be different kinds of emitters.
We all have different emitters. There's just that blue, the Anakin, Luke, Rey, Skywalker blade is smooth. It's sleek. But there's something that black part being on the bottom, it's unbalanced to me. That's what I think.
So here's the thing for me as we head towards making our final decisions is you're not going to get me to say or think a single bad thing about the green blade narratively for what it means to Luke. Mm-hmm. You're also not going to get me to say a single disparaging thing about the aesthetic of the green blade. That everything that's beautiful about the aesthetic of that hilt is covered by my love of Obi-Wan's lightsaber, since they are very, very close to the same.
That's the whole
hilt history there. Realizing, oh, hey, we need a new lightsaber for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
And look, I love we're having this discussion because George said the green's going to pop from the blue sky, right? That's why we're at. This is what's fascinating about Star Wars.
Yeah.
One little butterfly flap of the wing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before we cast our final votes, which are incredibly obvious. No tension, no drama whatsoever. Are there any final arguments or any final words of love for either of these blades? Ken, what do you got?
Look, I just, the green represents to me an entire... I was going to say entire generation, but that's not true. I'd put you right there square in that generation, Joseph. But it represents Star Wars going forward in my mind and my imagination. That is the one that I carried forward for my fandom was the green Luke at the end. That's the one I dreamed of playing with. That's the one I bought. That's why it is Luke's blade for me till the end.
The green blade.
The green blade.
Yeah. All right, Jennifer, any final thoughts?
I will say that the blue blade looks like something we may have seen before. It looks like a weapon more so from our world based on the hilt. Like it could be a sword or something like that. Whereas the green hilt, it really does look futuristic. And to me, it represents George Lucas because it's so kind of out there in some sense. It's really showing where he was going. Well, he was already pretty out there. I don't know. It just feels like it just feels so much more Star Wars and less referential to something that we already were familiar with. It's more referential to Star Wars as opposed to like samurai films or things like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, this is helping me in my utter hellscape. This is my idea. I don't know why I did this to myself. I totally, yeah. You two got to come up with some topics that are just hell torture for you so I can have fun watching my friends writhe the way I am in my soul right now. I think, okay, so for me on an emotional level, one of the very best moments in all of Star Wars, as we've talked about, is Luke signaling R2 and that
yes.
pommel coming up and the catch and the little weird almost half smile as he looks at it and ignites it. Oh, great.
Yeah.
But the moment where he pulls his blue blade out of the snow on Hoth, it is almost at that emotional level too, because it has that same power of he's actually learned, he's actually come this far, he can't reach it with his hand.
Yeah.
But he can if he concentrates in the heroics of that moment. They're very different, but they're equally powerful. So like when I think of those two blades, like those are the moments for me. Look, emotionally.
You made such a good point. I like fell out of my chair. the Hoth moment is pure Star Wars. I mean, that is a beautiful moment. The problem I think I have, I know we're in closing arguments, because Han uses it as well. It almost is just like a flashlight to me as a kid.
What we need is the deleted scene in Return of the Jedi where like Han is like, you know, he's got some, you know, twigs caught in his boot on Endor and he's borrowing Luke's blade to be like,
Even and there's an entire controversy to discuss and some great conversations to have around the market around Force Awakens. We know that John Boyega has brought up some wonderful points about that. I want to acknowledge that. But even when Finn gets the blade, like from Maz, and you have a weapon, and he ignites it and he ignites it on Starkiller Base, there was some like, it's a saber. Han is just like, gah, it's just like.
There is no romance to it. He's like, do I have a Swiss Army knife?
But by the way, I love the moment. I'm not disparaging the Hoth moment, but anyway. But to your point, you're not wrong. That Hoth moment is wonderful.
Yeah. Some of the hilt aesthetics arguments gets complicated for me because I love the green hilt, but it is Obi-Wan's and I love it as Obi-Wan's blade. And I love it that's the hilt that Obi-Wan designs. Mm-hmm. Going into the Clone Wars, you know, at the same time that the Skywalker blade is built. And I love looking at those aesthetics and going, ooh, where did they come from? And I want more of those stories.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, this is torture for me, but I think we're going to do a clean sweep for green.
Oh, wow.
Because at the end of the day, Luke's blue versus Luke's green, the power of the blue is that it's Luke's lightsaber, that it's the first lightsaber we see. But that lightsaber does exist in my imagination as the Skywalker blade now. And one of the most powerful moments of it is it flying to Rey. It is the blade Anakin uses when he makes his terrible choices. It is a blade that is steeped in good and bad choices in the true heritage of the Skywalker legacy. So I think, though, this episode is Luke's blue versus Luke's green. So you two have convinced me to give it to the green all the way.
Yes.
Green it is. What did we win? Nothing. We won two wonderful lightsabers, but
we won. No matter what, I was going to win pain.
You're going to win. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A terrible choice to have to make. But that is it. Ken, do you want to let people know anywhere they can find us?
Yeah. And if you have an opinion, and I'm sure you do, on the lightsaber choice, put it in the comments below. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on the podcast, hey, tweet us out on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. We're there still. Force Center Pod. We're also on Threads at Force Center Pod, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe and like the videos over there. Thanks for those who joined our special live stream this past week over the big Star Wars news. We are available in a lot of spots. Just search your finest in terms of podcasts and merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. I'm at Ken Napsok and KenNapsok.com. Jennifer, where can they find you and any costumes you've built or sabers you've made?
The bubble wands, not so much lately, but you can find me on all the social media platforms at Jennifer Landa or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
Wonderful. Joseph, with all your pain and torment, where can they find you and take us home?
You can find me sitting quietly in the darkness, questioning my choice, no matter what I decided on this episode. I love both those lightsabers. But you can find me on social media, pretty much all of them. My handle is at Joseph Scrimshaw everywhere. For now, the war has been decided. Our subjective opinion is Luke's green lightsaber. We'll see about his milk. Please let us know your thoughts in the comments, and please go easy on my tortured soul. That is it. The subjective wars have ended.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.